First Peter 4, verse 11. We'll look at just mainly one verse today, verse 11 in 1 Peter 4. Peter has just spoken about being good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2 and Titus 3 that we're saved by grace. The thing is, though, the grace that saves us is the same grace that also changes us. It's the same grace that also gives us gifts that we can use or that we are to use for God's kingdom. And so 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says, "As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." And then verse 11, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask again that you would enlighten our eyes and hearts and understanding to know your will and your way. Lord, not only to know them, but to do them. Help us today, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if I would title this message today, it is Speaking and Ministering as God's Ambassador. Now, it's not only about the ministers in God's church, those who are preacher or elder or deacon, even though in one way it speaks to them, but it does not apply only to them, and I want to try to show you why. But first, let's make sure we have a few of these words down, what they mean. The word oracles is one of the words that this hinges around today, this whole message. If any man speak, verse 11, let him speak as the oracles of God. One other translation says, as speaking the utterances of God. But the word oracles, speak as the oracles of God, is a noun. It's a thing. It doesn't mean in what way we should speak in this specific place. Even though if we are a believer, yes, we have a specific way how we should speak. It says in 1 Timothy 2 that we should speak with gentleness. Or is it in 2 Timothy 2? I forgot. But it says we should speak with gentleness to those that are against God, that God might perhaps grant them repentance. So there is a way that we should speak, but here it is about what we should speak. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. The oracles, we could say the words or the precepts, the principles, the commandments, the truth. Speak as the truth of God. We could understand pretty easily that if we were to be an ambassador to our country, let's say we moved to Africa or England or Germany or United States and we were an ambassador for Belize, we would need to speak well of this country. We would need to lift up what is good about Belize. Why should people go there and defend the country, say how good the country is, right? Well, if we're Christians, we do the same about God. It is not that God needs our defense. God doesn't say that, oh, if you guys will not defend me, I'm going to lose. That's not what God is saying. God is not just someone sitting up there and twirling his fingers and hoping that he'll be able to figure everything out and give us a win in the end. That's not who our God is. We see our God in Scripture as the beginning and the end, the all-powerful one, the all-knowing one. He can do miracles, right? He could make the sun sit still for an additional day like he did in the Old Testament just so that his people could finish and win the war. And God did that because he wanted to do it in such a way, not because he needed to. He could have done anything that they would win the war. But this time he decided to do this because his means are not limited. The way God can work is not limited. He can do whatever He wants in whatever way He wants, and He does, as we see in Scripture over and over again. We see how God uses little things as pictures. Little things turn into big things, like the stick that Aaron had and the magicians of Egypt, and the sticks all turned into a snake, even the magician's stick. But then Aaron's stick, which became a snake, swallowed up all the others' snakes. And God was showing that, yeah, even though I let Satan and his minions do some miracles, I am still the one in control. That's what God was showing them by Aaron's snake swallowing up all the other snakes. So God's means are not limited. He can work in whatever way He wants. But we are still His ambassadors. And that's what the Bible tells us, that we are His ambassadors. We defend His name. We defend His truth. We defend His word. That's our job. And so Peter says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Number one, if you're a preacher, if you're a minister of God's truth, you need to make sure that what you are saying represents the truth of God. But not only if you're a preacher, also if you just go work every day, if you raise a family at home, if you travel, whatever you do, you are an ambassador for Christ. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He rules across this whole world, not just in church, not just in business, not just in travel. He rules and reigns over everything, and we are under Him. We are to serve and obey Him. And so when He says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, this is in the context of being stewards of the gifts of God, being stewards of the manifold grace of God bestowed on us. If we have the gift of speaking, well, use it to speak the truth. Use it to speak that which honors God. But not only what we speak, also how we minister and how we live. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Now, I'm kind of going over these things a few times, but looking at it from different perspectives. What are the oracles of God? Well, they are the commandments, the truth, the word of God. That doesn't mean that when you come to me and you ask about some issue or some problem or something you need prayer for, that all I can say is quote the Bible. I can just quote this verse to you and you speak, and then I quote this verse to you. No. We speak in context, just like the Bible is a little bit of what Jesus spoke, what the disciples spoke, what they wrote down. It is only a little bit of it. They spoke and wrote and discussed a lot more things because that's what we do. We live, we do many things, but in everything we need to make sure that Christ and His truth is central. As servants of God, that needs to be central in our life. In Romans 3 verse 2, regarding what is the speaking, the oracles of God, well, it says in Romans 3 verse 2 that God committed, or God gave the oracles of God to the Jews. What did that mean? Well, they received the commandments of God. They received the oracles, the commandments of God. We need to be willing and able to speak the commandments of God. When someone says that, oh, I in my work, I'm lying so that I can get a promotion faster, or that I can lie and make more money for my boss, or I'm not honest in my work, we should tell them, well, the Bible says that we should be honest in all things. We should not deceive others. and we should not make gain unfairly. We should not go and make money unfairly, where we steal from someone else to get more for ourselves or for someone else. What is that doing? We defend the truth of God's word by doing that. We speak the oracles of God. We speak that which God has commanded. Or think of 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 4, where Paul writes, "We were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak." Paul says, God entrusted the gospel to us, and even so we speak. We must speak the gospel truth. We cannot just compromise and say, oh, the gospel is good for some and not good for others. The word of God applies to some but not to others. No, we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, and even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. We don't live to be man pleasers, but we live to please God. That's something that we need to ask ourselves every day. The things I do, the things I speak. Who am I living for? Is it for self? Is it for someone else? Or is it for God? If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives. Well, in what ways? Well, we might think this is of being good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Well, maybe deacons, right? Those who God appoints in the church to be ministers of the things that are being brought together. That's how it started in the book of Acts. Deacons were appointed because the preachers of the word said, it is not right for us to spend less time in word of God and in prayer because we need to feed more other people. So they said, but we need to feed people as Christians. We need to help those who are in need so we will get more people who are godly, who are servants of God, and we will have them help to serve the people who need to be serving. So speaking or ministering as God's ambassador, as of the ability which God gives. It says here, let him do it. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives. You might think that, oh, you don't need to serve God because you can't do it like someone else. Oh, that other person is serving God so well and does it so well, and I just can't do it in that way, so I just can't do it at all. No, you need to look at your own life. How can you serve God? Where are you serving God? And then do it in such a way that would be as an ambassador of God would do. Think of what an ambassador for Belize would do in some other country. Would they constantly be talking? Whoever came and inquired about Belize, they would say that, oh, there's a lot of crime there. Don't go. You'll get killed. Things will be bad for you. No, the ambassador would say, there's good places to visit. There's beautiful places. There's many good things to see and do in the country. Even though for us, we don't have bad things to ignore and hide about God. Everything about God is righteous and holy because He is the author of everything that is righteous and holy. So we as ambassadors for Christ, the more scriptural we get, the more truthful we get. It's not that, oh, now we need to hide some things that people won't see who God is. Some people think they need to defend God. Oh, if someone doesn't have free will, then God would be an evil God. And they think that we need to start defending God. No, God is God. He defends Himself, but we defend His truth. We defend His truth that God is honored and glorified by Him Himself being God and not us. Look, if God is limited by your free will, then you are more God than Him, because you are the sovereign one. If you can make a choice and God has to base what He does based on your choice, that means that your choice is sovereign. It is bigger and greater than God. That is a false teaching. We don't have such an ability to make a choice that God has to listen to. we do make a choice, but we only make it when God brings us to the place where we want to make that choice. We make a choice to follow Christ. It's a real choice. But the only place and reason where we can and want to make that choice is when God brings us to the place where we see our sin and our need for a Savior and say, "Yes, Lord, I want to follow you." It's not about making people believe that that they'll go to hell without knowing what is the gospel. See, people will change their life, and many do. You look at Muslim, Islam, you look at Jews, many people like that. They make major changes in their life because of what they believe. Does that mean they'll go to heaven now because they made a major change? There's many religious people who make major changes in their life, major decisions in their life, because they don't want to go to hell, because they want to go to heaven. But here's the thing. Who goes to heaven? Only those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who are they? They are those who are repentant of sin. They have a wish, a desire for their Savior. They have a desire to be with Him and to be more like Him. And God grant us that. God grants us that, and God grant us that, those who do not yet have it. The gospel is good news that Jesus came to this world to die for sinners, that we should believe on Him and be saved and have eternal life. We should believe on Him, trust in Him, and be saved, have eternal life, and have a new life, have a different life, not our old life. If we want to go back to our, if we are Christians and we want to go back to our old life, we will be convicted about it. We will start feeling miserable about it. And we need to say no more and go forward serving Christ. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives. Romans 12, verse 6, speaks of these gifts that God gives. Romans 12, verse 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity, he that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. In everything that we do, we need to recognize our thankfulness to God in for giving us life. This is what Romans 12 says. Those who prophesy, let them prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Those who minister, let them do it patiently. They that teach in such a way that God is exalted, he that exhorts, he that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. In all things unto the Lord. And that's what the Bible says. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Sometimes we're tempted, and I have been tempted sometimes, to think that, well, in the end, God is glorified anyway. So what does it matter what I do? The Bible says, explains that at the end of time, when God judges, and there will be the right and the left, there will be the sheep and the goats, He will say to the sheep, "Come to the place that is prepared for you from the beginning of the world." And He'll say to those on His left, to the goats, "Depart from me into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." The Bible explains to us that both of those are for the glory of God. God rewards with His eternal presence those who believe on Him, and God rewards those in hell who have rejected Him. And God is glorified by it. God only does things for His own glory. But the things that we do on this earth, we do to bring glory to God. Look at what it says in verse 11 in 1 Peter 4. If you speak, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Listen, think, how you live, how you speak, that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So, yes, at the end of all things, God will bring glory to Himself. But the sins that we do here, the people who see them, that'll bring reproach to Christ to an extent. At the end of all things, we will see how Jesus paid for our sin, and God is glorified by that. God is glorified by saying, yes, Jesus paid for your sin. You are welcome into heaven, into my presence for all of eternity because Jesus paid for your sin. That'll bring glory to God. But some things that we do on this earth, if they're not done in love, in thinking, how does that look for Christ or for God, the way we live, then we don't bring glory to God. And he says we should think of this. We should speak, we should minister, we should live in such a way that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So in this way of speaking, in this way of thinking, the more we become like Christ, the more He is glorified through us while we are here on this earth. And that should be our goal, not because, oh, otherwise we'll go to hell, but because we are redeemed, and because we are redeemed, we want to serve and honor our Lord Jesus Christ, so that He may be glorified in all things, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Yes, God will be praised forever and ever. God has dominion in Christ. Christ revealed it as well. Dominion, all power, all authority forever and ever. But let us live in such a way where we recognize it and where we live in such a way. We saw earlier in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, it says, have your conversation, your lifestyle, honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So have your lifestyle honest among the Gentiles that even they will glorify God in the end. And then Romans 11 verse 36. Who are we living for? Why are we living for Him? What are we doing on this earth? So this says about Christ in Romans 11 verse 36. For of Him, of Christ, and through Christ, and to Christ are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. That's who we live for. It is of Him, it is through Him, it is to Him, it is all for Him. It is all for Christ. And let us live in such a way. This will be the same in the end. Revelation 5 verse 13 says, every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Let us be reminded that we are ambassadors for Christ. We are to speak and minister in such a way as to show it, that we are ambassadors for Christ. Lord, help us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that You would work in us, not only to have this desire, yes, we would have this desire, but that we would have the ability to fulfill it. And Lord, if there's places where we can't, help us to follow James, where he says that we confess our faults one to another and pray one for another, that we might be healed. And that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Lord, help us to spend a fervent time in prayer. Help us to reflect on what we have heard and how that applies in our own life. Help us to live for the glory of Jesus Christ, for who we will live for all eternity. When we are saved, we are. I just pray, God, that you would be with us, go with us today, bless us, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen.